are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We got a live NBA draft show coming up. NBA draft Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA and on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th, 7 p.m. Eastern. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs. Right here on the Locked On NBA Network, I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer. And we just did the little promo for our Locked On NBA Draft show, and that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the mock draft that the guys over here at the Locked On NBA team did. By now, everybody knows who the Locked On Spurs host, yours truly, picked in this mock draft. We're going to be looking at that, get our guests react to it, and some of the rumblings that we've heard on the part one, if you will, of the Locked On NBA draft show that's been released. But first, we're going to be talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. Congratulations to them winning a title, the first in, well, actually their second, but their first in 50 years. Begs the question, how long is it going to take for San Antonio to reach the top of the mountain and get back and be the last team standing, maybe raise banner number 6? To do that and more, I am joined by my good friend, Casey Vieira. Make sure to follow him on Twitter, @Casey_Vieira. Why? Not only because he has good Spurs takes, he also has a show called Vieira's an Essay on YouTube. He and his wife give you their goings and comings, ins and outs of married life, and a lot of bachelorette talk, Casey. I guess. Yeah, hey, that's what y'all share in common. Good.
Yeah, it does well, man. You know, we're shameless. We're all about the quicks, you know? People tend to like the bachelorette. I think this season's trash, but whatever.
I don't think I ever seen an episode. I can't recall everyone tuning in. No.
No, well, don't start this season because it's terrible. So,
if you had to pick a season, which one would it be to watch, to dive in?
Well, I started maybe 4 years ago. So I'm not some deep historian or something like that. So don't quote me on everything. Pretty much I started basically when, you know, I met my wife. But Last season was actually pretty good. Last season was actually pretty good of The Bachelorette. I like The Bachelorette. You might see her by now at this point. She's everywhere. Tayshia Adams, have you seen her on TV at all?
No.
She's in that ABC umbrella, Disney Mickey Mouse umbrella, because, you know, Mickey owns everything these days. So
pretty much.
She's pretty much hopefully
they'll own your show soon and throw you those bucks, those mouse bucks.
That'd be great. That'd be great. I like Tayshia Adams. She's cool. I'd hang out with her. And and apparently she's a Knicks fan, too. She was at the playoff game. So she's good in my book.
Well, there you have it. There you go. All right. So now you know why you need to follow Casey on Twitter. Casey_Vieira for all the bachelorette talk you can digest. Hey, you know, kudos to the Bucks, man. They did it. Beat the Suns in 6.
They did.
Got Giannis getting that elusive title. You have former Spurs, Chad Forcier, Coach Bud, Brent Forbes. They got themselves a ring. And they did it, Casey, without having that quote-unquote super team. There was no other megastars outside of Giannis. I mean, I think Middleton, he's an all-star. He's a damn good player. But you wouldn't put him up there with your KD or, you know, Kyrie and Harden and LeBron and blah, blah. But the point is, no need to knock them. They won the title. Kudos to them. Were you surprised they went 6, or did you think it was going to go the distance of Phoenix getting the win?
Yeah, I thought it was going to go the distance. But honestly, after they took game, what game was that? Game 4. So to even things up 2-2, I was like, there's a real good chance they can close this out if they take 5 in Phoenix. But I know it sounds kind of no kidding, Casey, but they look good, man. And it's kind of eerie when you parallel them to the Spurs with where they are, because the impact of this win and potentially long-term what it was and everything from, you know, that to roster construction of things. And it's eerie how similar they are to the Spurs. You know what I mean? Like not the current Spurs, but the Duncan Spurs, and that you got your one megastar, arguably best player in the league, and Giannis, as we know, and everybody else is just kind of you know, guys who are good but not elite. With Drew and Chris Middleton, those guys are fringe all-stars, kind of like Manu and Tony were every single year. I mean, they had all-star runs, but by no stretch were they annually a top 25 player every single year. And the same kind of thing with Middleton and Holiday. And it's just kind of a bunch of, I guess, and I don't want to say interchangeable parts, but from the way that team is built right now, it's in the way Giannis looked this past week, man. It didn't even matter who you put out around him outside of those two other guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Ty looked fantastic. Here's the thing that I thought was crazy though, with this series was, I don't know about you, but I felt like this was the first time in Giannis's career that it felt like he figured it out offensively in the half court. You know what I mean? Like, how many times watching Giannis through however many years it's been now, 8, 9, well he's been Giannis that he is now, MVP caliber Giannis, what, maybe about 4 years now, but how many times watching him where he has, like, an uncontested three with a guy standing about 8 to 10 feet off of him just saying, shoot it.
Yeah.
And Giannis launches it anyways. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, dude, why are you taking that shot? You're like, you're 7 feet tall, just built like a brick house.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless your name's like Joel Embiid or Rudy Gobert, you're probably not going to be able to guard that in the post. What the hell are you doing all the way out there? Just get below the free throw line. And,
well, he was starting to make some long balls.
Largely everything was free throw line and below. And it was just like, my goodness, you know, for the previous portion of his entire career prior to these last 6 games almost, you're just wondering, like, when is he going to figure this out that he can do this with such ease? And now he has figured it out. So this is what the basketball world teams are subjected to, trying to slow that down. A guy who previously, I don't want to say didn't know what he was doing with his shot selection, but I'm dramatic. So previously didn't know what he's doing with his shot selection, and now he's piecing it together, putting up 50 pieces in the final, literally and figuratively, in the finals. Man, that was special. That was special.
Hey,
that team's gonna be good for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, speaking of a while, you know, it was a while before the Bucks got their second chip since, what, 1971 was their first one? So let's just say it's been a minute since the Bucks got theirs second banner. Begs the question, though, how long till San Antonio gets their banner 6? You know, you're looking collectively right now. You know, there's pieces they can flip. You're looking at their draft position the past few years. They've been in that, you know, middle of the pack, you know, 11, 12, 29 has been the worst of late. How long do you think it'll be, and what will it take for the Spurs to get back of the mountain and be that last team standing, Casey?
If you could get a 6'11" Greek demigod between then and now,
scouting, Spurs scouts.
right. That always helps the cause. And they certainly won't have another. It'll be at least 42 years to hit that 50 mark, what it'll be for them to win another title if their roster is constructed presently, as it would be for the next 42 years. But, I mean, right now, with this Bucks thing, this Bucks team, it's shown that, and this would be an encouraging thing for Spurs fans to hear based off of how the past, I guess really everything since 2014, since that last title, is that you can still, it's tough, it's really hard, but you can still build organically and be an elite team every single season. And it's not entirely always about getting that megastar. 75% of the time it is. Maybe prior to this season, I would have said 85% of the time. But it shows that small market optimism is there, and if you can get the right guy, then you're in a good spot to do that, and kind of like what they thought was going to be the case before Kawhi.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local auto chain store to keep up with all the parts you need. Why go in line? Why endure often pointless, seemingly intimidating questioning? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same part from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and those prices are always reliably low for every customer at Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in their How Did They Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
The end result can still work out the way it does, but I think it also shows, you know, for the small market teams too, is that even with a dude like Giannis, who's been probably a top 10 player in the game, well, maybe like 5 years now going on or so, and that it still takes time, and you got to be patient. You got to be patient. I mean, it takes at least 6 years, rationally, 5 to 6 years before you even get in that conversation. So that's one thing you got to be patient with. And two, usually it takes kind of like one more big trade to put them over the top, or one kind of bold move to really put them over the top. Not anything that's to the extent of bringing together a big three, like, you know, landing like a KD or Kyrie or something like that, but something like we saw with Drew Holiday going to Milwaukee in the offseason. It's like, yeah, they gave up a lot, but by no stretch is Drew Holiday in that Kyrie KD conversation. But I think this just goes back to, again, the opportunity to build from organically. It's still a way to be relevant, to be in title contention. Right. It's still a possibility. It's not easy. It's probably not as easy as Giannis said himself. This was the hard way. This definitely is the hard way if you're a franchise in a small market, like much like the Spurs are, to win a title, to do this organically, but it is possible. And I think the Milwaukee thing, winning the title, definitely shows that. Absolutely.
Yeah, you look at the Bucks and what they did, you know, winning with one megastar. Now, the Spurs, they don't have a megastar of Giannis's, you know, heights. They don't. You're hoping that one of them will turn into it. You know, Keldon seems to be the closest, but I mean, megastar, that's still, you know, the jury's still out even for KJ. He's at best, Casey, perhaps their best perennial all-star, maybe. I mean, maybe it might be pushing it there.
Right.
But
yeah. But we got a ways to go before we can call him the top 5 to 10 player in the
league.
Yeah,
exactly. And the way the Spurs became dominant in their golden era was through the draft, Robinson, Duncan, number one picks, getting damn lucky in the draft, Parker and Manu. And that's it. That's what it took for San Antonio to do that. And then all they did was just built around those big three. And then, you know, you get lucky again. You make a bold move in the draft. You trade for Kawhi Leonard. And at least for 1 year, it turned into a title, 2014, with Kawhi getting the MVP finals, MVP. So the Spurs may have to do that again. They may have to get aggressive in order to accelerate themselves to get to the top or just completely bottom out. They did it once before, Tim Duncan. You know, let's be honest. They tanked that season. They really did. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me Robinson was ready to go. I think he was. He clearly was ready to go. And they didn't. They sat him out, and the ping pong balls fell in their way, and TD and the rest is history. With everything before them right now, as we speak, Casey, perhaps the best way for them to accelerate that is either flip some of these guys or bottom out. I mean, to me, that seems to be the only options they got, because if they're going to grow organically as they're constructed right now, maybe a decade, maybe, before they reach at the top again.
Yeah, minimum, because just look how long it took for Giannis. Like we were saying, 5-6 years alone, and that's almost essentially best case scenario for it to work like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is that it's just it takes time. It really takes time, and just the fact that it was basically a decade alone with the freak of whatever you want to call Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the Spurs don't even have that, so. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to take time. And whether it's a matter of
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but what would you rather see them bottom out and get that number one pick, maybe number two, at least in the top five, or start flipping players now?
I mean,
yeah, it's either way, it's going to be a process. Either way.
Well, like it depends like in the context. Like what are you looking for? You know, it's like tanking obviously is no guarantee ever. And if it does happen, that's still 5 years alone. But if they invest 5 years into DeMar DeRozan, they're not going to win a title in 5 years. Sorry, they're just not.
Right.
Unless Keldon Johnson turns into – right, and unless Keldon Johnson takes some inordinately huge leap in a not-expected period of time, it's not going to happen. But it's kind of like that gray area we've talked about forever now that the Spurs were kind of being in post Kawhi trade and – the whole stagnated part of where they were at with Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it depends on your level of patience. I think it really depends on your level of patience. Because you know me, I've been full on the mindset of everybody is fair game in terms of making a trade and making a move. But with that said, that means you're entering years of losing, a continued stretch of losing in all likelihood that would be the case, with no guarantee that things would get better. But then on the other side of things, I don't have any faith that any constructed roster next season built around DeMar DeRozan would be good enough to, you know, usurp a lot of the teams in the Western Conference this year. So I don't know. I know that's not the answer you're looking for. I know that's
No. I mean, it's so gray.
Like, but it is what it is. Yeah, it's just
because
gray.
It's just gray because that you not only got to worry about your players, the rosters. There's another big looming question that may really severely set back the Spurs' championship goals again, as far as raising one, is the head coaching spot. We know Popovich's days are numbered. That's it. Whether it be this year or next year, he's going to retire very, very soon. It's going to happen. So you bring in a new person, and whether they be in-house or they go outside the family, that's going to take time for that person to start getting what they want to see out of a team. And maybe they're aggressive too. Maybe they start pushing for these players to get flipped. I don't know. We don't know. You know, it may not even work out with whoever they bring in new. It's worked out with Pop for so many years, you know, and there's going to be even struggles for that person. So I just got a feeling it may be, and you know, I'm joking here, it may be a long while before the Spurs reach the top. Now, would they make the postseason? Of course. Could they have deep playoff runs? Absolutely. But, I mean, just take the Suns, for example. I mean, look what they did to get to the finals. They a lot of it was just organically, but a process of the draft. A Booker, you know, Ayton, you know, swing of the fences, bringing in Chris Paul, you know, being a top name like that.
But that's not the Dario same formula we were just saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That same formula. You build organically, get a solid foundation like they did, get a good coach, culture guy like they did with James Jones up top, Monty Williams on the bench, and make that one big move. I mean, Chris Paul at this point, he's top 25 player. We probably say that, maybe better than the Drew Holiday parallel we were making. But still, it starts with building internally and then getting that one big move, and that's where they took him, you know?
Yeah, I would like to see them build through the draft. You know, I don't know what next year's, not this coming draft class, but the following, you know, what that's projected to be. But, you know, it's going to have to happen because Booker was, I don't remember what number he was, but he definitely was, you know, first round high pick.
He was a lot of Aiden pick in the teams. Yeah.
Yeah. Aiden was number one overall, if I remember correctly. And but look at that. Phoenix had to bottom out and get the number one pick to bring him in to at least be able to select him. So the Spurs got a lot of things to do. But as of right now, the bad vibe I get is they're kind of a middle team, and that's scary, Casey.
I mean, they are what they are, you know.
Yeah,
they just kind of are what they are. It's this is something that we feared would be the case for. How long?
Well, it's happening right now. It's right before our eyes.
Falling into that gray area just for years and years and years and years. And that's what we had. That's what we saw. We knew that was going to be the case if they didn't make a move this year.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. So before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting events, news, sign-up bonuses, contest info, and much, much more. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the runs of the playoffs. Head to the website right now or use your mobile device to sign up today and get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Use promo code LOCKEDON. What we're trying to get at, Spurs fans, is hang in there. It may be a while before your Spurs hoist another title. I don't know. I don't even know. I'll be around, Casey. That's too morbid. I'm an old man in a rocking chair.
I was gonna say maybe that would just be your parting gift on the way out.
Hey, I'd take that. Yeah, like go Spurs, go.
You get one more.
Yeah.
You get one more. You're like, all right, ready to clock all out. Right. Thanks, guys.
Now I'm gonna clock out now. Exactly.
I saw six in my lifetime. We're good.
All right, let's gonna jump to our next topic, and that is the Locked On NBA Draft, and of course the NBA Draft, the real deal, coming up in just a few short days. Casey, it's already out there. The Locked On NBA Mock Draft has released its results, and yours truly here, if you did not hear by now, for this mock, has selected at number 12, center Kai Jones out of Texas. Yes, Locked On Spurs saw that he was still on the mock board, took him. And Casey, he's kind of been, I want to maybe close to maybe a lightning rod between Spurs fans. I mean, it's not bad, but there is two parties involved. Some are saying yay, some are saying no, but mainly more yays. Your thoughts on this mock pick, Kai Jones?
I know a lot of Longhorn fans in the area would be happy. I know that much.
Yeah.
And I know, like you said, he's kind of been a lightning rod talking point within the area. I'm kind of hung up with Kai Jones here, because and a lot of it stems back with what else the Spurs are going to do with this roster, because I do think they are going to make a move. I think that DeJounte, Derek White, Lonnie Walker trio, I think one of the three is not going to be back next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see a scenario where if they do move one of those guys, maybe they do move them for a more established big, a guy who's a little bit more flexible and can space the floor a little bit to pair with Jakob. Maybe they do go with kind of that stretch 3-4 route, move one of those guys, or they do nothing at all. But what we do know right now is that we're basing this off of what they have currently constructed. So that said, we'll do exactly that, going off currently constructed. If that's the case, I think Kai Jones is a good guy for that spot, because Jakob, even though he might not realize this or not know this, I don't think a lot of people are, as he's kind of relayed on multiple occasions, it seems like. But I don't think past his contract, he's probably a long-term option for the Spurs at that 5 spot, right? I would think. So you get a guy like Kai Jones in here, who 6'11", big, can run the floor pretty good effectively, offense from the offensive side of things, pretty efficient, work in progress on defense. Not a great shooter, but can at least stretch the floor better than Jakob Poeltl can. Give him 2 years to essentially platoon with Poeltl, and then you might have your guy. Then you might have your guy to run the 5. But if the Spurs decide that they're going to move one of those three aforementioned guards and move up, I think you probably make a push to get one of those wings. But that's, of course, a different conversation. So in the meantime, if you're picking solely from that 12 spot, and hey, you know what, man, let's be honest. No news tends to be the way that they've gone for 20 years now when it comes to making moves in the offseason. if that happens the way it does, which probably is a very likely scenario, yeah, I think you got it right. I think you got it right, my friend. I think you went need probably over best player available. And, hey, you know, maybe Kai Jones is the best player available at 12. Well, I have to see the full lock. Maybe you messed – yeah, maybe somebody messed up in there and I can come after you for it.
Well,
I think you got it right now at least.
Well, the thing is that we had a lot of react, at least on the show, you know, from Jad Ford and some other guys on the Locked On NBA Network. And it's very black and white with them. From Ford to the other guys, their reaction to the Locked On Spurs pick was, he's either going to be really good or he's going to be in the EuroLeague. Like, there was just no in between. There is no going to be like, Okay, he'll be a serviceable guy. He's either going to wow you or not going to wow you. I find that a little extreme, unless I'm way off base here, Casey. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think this kind of goes back to modern day NBA players and how many guys where they have the first base that they can cover to at least get invited to the party is the fact that they're really athletic and they have something that a lot of players, not a lot, but a good number of players in this league don't have in an elite level of athleticism. And from what everything we've seen out of Kai Jones at that point, you're really banking on raw potential with him, like Chad Ford and whoever you reference there too. Because at UT, he was not a guy. I mean, he only put up 8 points, like, what was it, 8 points, 5 boards a game? He's the sixth man of the year in the conference. So you're not reaching to grab some Cade Cunningham megastar hoping he's going to fall at number 12. I mean, he wasn't a focal point of offense. He was a role player, rotational guy, and that's what he was. But the thing, though, is that all those things that he was, those are things that can translate over to the league, and that's why he's getting looked at, because he does a lot of those things. I mean, he's a rim runner. He's effective and efficient inside the paint, largely offensively as a whole. He can at least space the floor a little bit, a competent amount, but whether those tools translate beyond the athleticism, because like you said, I mean, athleticism, while it gets you a seat at the table, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to sit there the entire night, because you got a lot of other guys who are pretty darn athletic in the NBA as well. So I think, at least, mind you, I didn't see what Chad Ford said, but I think that has to be the rationale. And when you just have a guy, like a lot of these young guys who do just have that foundation of being freak athletes, they're going to get looks. They're going to get looks. And whether things fall into place or not, that's a different story. But at least to get that look and what they're banking on, hoping that they can just perfect the skill set and live with the mishaps as long as they continue to grow, then they go for it. But then again, if they don't develop that, then, hey, you know, what's the thing that was it, Wong Dong Flying Tigers? That was Czech, everyone's been saying, that the team in China, Chinese. Who is it? The one that Shaq
You
was
lost
saying,
me that one.
Yeah, on the Chinese league, the CBA, there was the who you play for.
Oh, yes.
Guangdong Flying Tigers?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, no, well, 4 years, they might have their center. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I think that's a fair assessment, though. He is boom or bust.
Yeah, it for me, when I saw he was on the board still, my thought was like, okay, you know, what do I do here? You know, I mean, the Spurs have a hole in the middle. No knock on Eubanks, Samanich, on Pirtle, but you know, none of them are athletic freak like Kai Jones is. And I think he would mesh well with the Spurs. He had an interview and a workout with the Spurs. He posted it on his Instagram that he was in San Antonio recently. So if the Spurs interviewed and took him in for a visit in person, you know, that's a signal that he could be on their big board. But for me, it was just, I just think the Spurs needed a rim running big, a guy that's going to keep up with these young guys, go be a threat on the break. In at least through combine video, he was knocking down the long ball. So if he could become somewhat of a serviceable stretch big, I mean, great, because I don't think the Spurs have anybody who's on the roster right now that can do what the Spurs need, is that being a stretch five or stretch big.
Yeah.
So if he could do that, I think it'd be great. You know, I'm surprised.
He'd immediately be the most athletic big on the roster. Immediately.
He backs, you know, I'm assuming that he would go spend his do his thing in Austin. You know, I just hope that he wouldn't be buried on the Austin Spurs system, or, you know, or be buried on the Spurs bench, because I think he could provide something now. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star, but I think if he gets burned in his rookie season, he'll provide something, whether that just be simply rim running. I take it, because the Spurs definitely can use it, KC.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But I mean, say he platoons with Jakob at a point where it's maybe like Poeltl gets 28, and what would that mean? Jones would get 20 minutes a night, theoretically. That's still a lot.
Something like that, yeah. No, I don't see Pop giving him that much. No, maybe 12. No. Maybe 12.
Yeah, but then keep in mind, on the other side of that spectrum, that means you're giving Poeltl 36 minutes a night.
That is true.
You know what I mean? So I think
unless you give some to Eubanks, as a backup five.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, you know, you're still playing Poeltl 30. Mm-hmm. What closer? I don't think they want Poeltl playing 30 minutes a night. I don't think they do. So I mean. In reality, yeah, I think you're right. That's probably how it goes, because they probably pick, whether it's bringing back Gorgui Dieng or something else, I think they probably pick up a five that can balance out Poeltl's skill set a little bit, who at least can be something on the offensive end outside the free throw line, something. Mm-hmm. But as a result, it's going to come at playing time for Kai Jones. And as a result, again, it's probably going to lead to Kai Jones spending a few stints in Austin. Good thing is, he knows the town, right? It's not like some of these other teams. It's some of these other towns. You got to hang out like Grand Rapids, Michigan. I mean, he might be able to stay in his own college apartment, you know?
So, yeah.
Like, he's going to be in Austin. He's, you know, he's played the last couple of years in Austin. What's a few more at this point? So, he'll be fine there on that front. But from the basketball front, you know, the more we talk about it and, you know, more kind of like dig deeper into it, that's probably how it would go. But then again, here's the other thing, though, man. I mean, the Spurs are in a spot where, in all likelihood, they're not going to be win now. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not. And I'm one of these guys that's just been banking on DeRozan leaving. But even if DeRozan comes back, like, it's not like this is a title contender and you want to have a win now, ready-made type of prospect in there to give you closer to 20 minutes a night. I don't think you need that, or they would take that, the Spurs would, out of a kid, 19, 20-year-old kid, very raw talent that they have an opportunity to develop. And I think that will, you know, that's probably going to be the situation that they're in. And if they do take Kai Jones there, I think that's probably going to be the way it plays out.
Would you be upset in real life if it does happen that San Antonio gets Kai Jones, or if who would be your, if there are any other picks that could theoretically still be on that board for San Antonio at 12 that are above, in your opinion, Kai Jones?
Honestly, man, I'm like, where I am, I'm boring today. I'm boring today because, like, I feel with the way the Spurs team is now, I think they are going to make a move, and it's tough for me to be like, to say who they need. Like, it's tough for me to kind of really zero in on what they need, because I think there's going to be a lot of fluidity to the way this thing is set up. I really do. So just for the sake of this conversation, yeah, I think Kai Jones is going to be the guy who they should go with if Derek White is still there and DeJounte Murray is still there and Lonnie Walker is still there and things largely look the same. But I don't know, like, if I'm willing to bet the house on that, you know what I mean? So going off for the sake of your locked on pick, yeah, Kai Jones is the guy. Yes.
Well, there you have it. We'll have to hear what the fans have to say now. I haven't heard any feedback yet. I'm actually surprised. I don't think any Spurs fans realize that the mock has been released yet. But now you know. Now you know. So if you have any thoughts on that.
Talked about, Yeah, I was going to say, right, he's been the most talked out player. Talked about player, yeah. I feel like.
Exactly, yeah. So if you want to chime in.
I think a lot of people have their Longhorn goggles on, too. So
Yeah, and of course, you know,
and
I mean.
And I get that.
San Antonio has a lot of Longhorn fans, so, I mean.
Right,
gotta,
right, and I get that.
Yeah. Yeah, UT alum will definitely be in the AT&T Center should Kai Jones get selected. But, yeah, it's so much things are going to be happening in the next few days. The draft is just, well, at this time of the recording, 8 more days away. So, yeah, good times ahead. Let the games begin. As they say, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the Spurs and reaching the NBA title once again? How long do you think it will take? What can the Spurs do right now to make that sooner rather than later? And what do you think about the Locked On Spurs mock pick, Kai Jones out of Texas? Agree, disagree? Let me know. Casey, tell everybody how they can talk to you on social media and more about Vieira's and SA.
Find me on Twitter, @Casey_Vieira. Vieira's and SA. I usually let Jeff do the plugs because he does a better job plugging my own show than I do. So you did it at the start. Rewind about a half hour. He does a better job in explaining my own YouTube show than I do. But, yeah, Vieira's NSA. Check us out. We have fun. We're good.
I heard a wild rumor that you were turned down for the part of Batman in the upcoming movie. Is that true? Because I heard you're physically fit now. Like, you're so ripped now. I see your videos, Casey. I see you've been hitting some iron.
Wow. Thank you. I didn't think you'd notice. But it's crazy how fast this stuff leaks, right? Right? I thought it was a lock. They told me they had actually hit me up about the job first. They were like, all right, Pattinson, we're not sure about him, but we have an opening that might be coming up soon if we can't figure it out. And
there's this sports guy in San Antonio that's been hitting iron. So we got to bring him in.
Yeah.
He'll fill out that armor easily. Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, all right, this works. This works. They're keeping us on the low. And what happens? What do? They've seen James Pledger on Facebook.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Freak workouts he's been doing these days. And all of a sudden, they hit Pledge up. And I was like, Pledge is like a Marvel guy. You know, you're out here sending him doing some DC stuff.
Well, I heard he had too many demands for coconut oil to lather up. So that was kind of the breaker there, but all jokes aside,
so you're one of these guys who's not buying into the sweat that, or buying into him sweating. He does it all for a
no pack. Way,
it's like a, it's no like way. A photo it, shoot. It, you don't sweat that much.
It glistens. There's sweat, and then there's glistening. He glistens.
Got it. So what do? They spray him with the spray bottle first.
And of then course,
they,
yeah.
They double dose it. Yeah, they double dose it with the oil.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh man,
I'm taking. I have to take notes now.
Dude, Pledge is going to, like, be so, I don't even know, having no context and finding out that we're saying this right now, someone's going to listen and be like, dude, they were talking about your muscles and body oil, and Pledge is going to be
like, see, what tunes in? Sorry. You guys, curse you, Casey.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
Pledge like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, exactly. Follow Casey on Twitter. You know how to do that. As for me, make sure to subscribe to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey app. So much ways for you to tune in to Locked On Spurs. And again, don't forget about the Locked On Live Draft. It is coming fast and furious. Again, it's going to be on the Odyssey app. It's going to feature analysis from mock NBA draft people that participated, like myself and others. Chad Ford, Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine. Scal's joining the show too. How about that? General Manager Ryan McDonough.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure to search for the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Odyssey is your home for all sports podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY. So for Casey Batman Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.